You're listening to Confidently She, a lifestyle and mindset podcast for women of faith, hosted by copywriter and body confidence coach, Rebecca Biggie. Get ready to question the beliefs that are making you question your self-worth and become Confidently She. This is the 100th episode of Confidently She. And even just saying that right now is kind of hard to believe because I remember when I first started sitting in my home office back when I lived in Mankato, and I had just gotten this mic and I had it all set up to start recording, and I hit start and stop and start and stop like probably 3 or 4 times before I actually started saying anything, because I was just so terrified to say what was on my mind and what was on my heart and to share this message, because I didn't know how it was going to be received. I didn't know if anyone was going to listen to it. Honestly, I thought that no one would. Just, you know, you get these ideas in your head of like, nobody cares what you have to say. Who is going to listen to you? Like, it happens to everyone. And it definitely happened to me when I first started. So to think that I have recorded and published 100 episodes is amazing. And that's so cool. And thank you so much for encouraging me along the way. I don't think you realize how important it is and how much it means to me when I get messages from you guys or ratings and reviews on iTunes and wherever else, because that just helps me quiet those voices in my own head that tell me it's not worth it, that tell me nobody cares, that tell me, you know, no one's going to listen to this anyway, you're probably wrong, you know, all of that stuff. So just remember, when I say confidence is a practice, that I'm practicing it too. And those thoughts, those voices that come into your head that tell you that you suck, that tell you that you should stop, that tell you that it's never going to work out, that happens to everyone. So don't let it stop you the way I didn't let it stop me. So whatever you want to work on, whatever you want to build, just go for it and figure it out along the way. So for this 100th episode, I'm taking the time to share my journey, to share my testimony, and to just really open up and level set, because there have been so many new listeners in the past few months even, that I want to have this 100th episode to be a way to level set with everyone and to just get super real again about my journey, because I really want to bring you actionable tips on this podcast. So I don't talk about myself a ton. So I wanted to just use this episode to do that. So speaking of like 100 episodes, the beginning of the podcast, it was actually called the Body Confidence Podcast. So when I said start and then figure it out as you go, that's what I mean, is just start somewhere and you can change your mind as you figure out what your true mission and purpose and calling in life really is. So at the beginning, I just called it the Body Confidence Podcast because I wanted to talk about body confidence. And when people think of body confidence, they usually think of body positivity or body image, and it's really not the same thing. The reason why I want to talk about body confidence is because that is truly the opposite of feeling insecure about your body. And body insecurities come in all different forms. Like, it's not just weight, which body positivity is usually about like weight inclusivity and like disabled bodies, like all types of bodies being good. And while that's true, I was like, no, it's not really just about that though. Like, I don't think that I'm a really body positive voice. It's more of just like confidence in the way your body is okay, and it's on purpose. So I really wanted to cover all aspects of that. And then as I got into it, I just realized how much body image and your own perception ties into your sense of self-worth, your identity and who you are. And I was like, wow, this is a lot about a lot more than just body insecurities. This is about like all kinds of insecurities because they're connected. If you feel insecure about your body, I guarantee you feel insecure in other ways, in other areas of your life, because your body goes with you into all the areas of your life, right? So if you feel insecure about your body, it's going to show up in your work. It's going to show up in your relationship. It's going to show up in your friendships. It's going to show up in your family. It's going to show up everywhere that you show up because you live in your body. That makes sense. So that's how it evolved. And rather than feeling like, oh man, now I need to change this or I didn't get it right the first time, I just decided, you know what? I'm changing the name of the podcast. I came up with the name Confidently She while I was getting a massage. By the way, that's when I do a lot of my like creative thinking idea time is I get a massage once a month and I just allow myself to be creative and come up with ideas while I'm laying on the massage table. And that's how I came up with Confidently She. I was just like thinking about, you know, what do you want the essence of this podcast to be? Like, what is it about? Yeah, like women being powerful and what it looks like to be a powerful woman and all of that. And then I was just like, oh, Confidently She. And then it was born. So it's okay to have things evolve as you go. Things will always evolve as you go. You'll never get it perfectly right at the beginning because you don't have enough experience yet, and that's okay. No one expects you to have everything perfect the first run out of the gate. That's just unrealistic. So that's how the podcast started, and to think that was 100 episodes ago is so cool because of the journey. Like, I think the journey is what makes it real. I think that if it's the same old thing day in and day out, week in and week out, if it's not evolving, then you aren't evolving and your audience isn't evolving. So I'm actually kind of proud of the fact that I changed my mind halfway through and I've experimented with it a few times and I really feel like I'm in a good groove now, which is good. And so one huge change in the podcast over the last 7 or 8 months is a shift towards having it be a Christian podcast. Honestly, like if you listen to the first 70 episodes, I guess quite a few, it wasn't specifically founded in biblical ideas. I mean, it kind of was at its core. I don't think anything was not biblical, but I wasn't giving God credit for the fact that He's the reason I have so much confidence now. And I was reading in my journals over the year of like 2014 when I went through my really bad toxic breakup. And I realized how heavily I was relying on God during that period of time to really rebuild myself and to figure out who I was. And I leaned on Christian music. I leaned on reading the Bible. I was going to church regularly, and that's what really put myself back together. And because for the last few years, I had been in a relationship that led me away from the Lord, not like totally eliminating my faith, but just didn't lead me closer at all. In fact, led me away. I forgot about how much God played a role in rebuilding my confidence and my identity. And I thought that I was doing it all myself. And that's what the majority of the first half of the podcast episodes were kind of talking about, was like, oh, this is how Rebecca did it. This is how you can do it like Rebecca did. And after I called off my engagement and ended that relationship in December, I refocused my life to being like, you know, you've tried the Rebecca way a few times and look where it got you. Clearly, you are not living the way that you're supposed to. So I got really intentional about taking a hard look at everything the Bible really said and deciding, is this something you should believe? Is this trustworthy? Should you believe this or not? This is what you were raised to believe. Like, is this really something Rebecca, as a 26-year-old adult, is going to believe independently? And if so, you're going to go all in with this and you're going to trust it. And you are not only going to use the Bible as this like religious text, you're going to use it as a life manual because girl needs some help. Like, just like, I'm like, you clearly, like, you're not the worst. You're not a train wreck. You can build a decent life, Rebecca, but look what keeps happening. Like, you keep ending up in these bad relationships. You keep ending up in work that's not fulfilling you. Like, something is wrong here. So why not really dig into the Bible and see what going all in looks like and why you should do that, or if you even should. And in that process, God showed me exactly why He is good, and the things that He tells us and recommends for us to do and expects us to do with our lives and how we're supposed to behave, therefore are good because He loves us. And yes, we're not going to understand or like everything all the time, but that's not our role. We are not equal to God. I am not equal to God, so I don't get to sit down with Him and say, hey, you know what? I've got some feedback on this part of the Bible. I think we should make a little amendment here because I don't like that. I don't get to give God feedback on the way He says humans are supposed to live their life, right? Like, He created me. I don't get a say in like what's best for me. I can do what I want. I have the free will to go against what He says, but this isn't like a collaboration effort. This is He's leading and I get to decide if I'm going to be obedient or not. And he taught me to trust Him in so many different ways. And he put me through so many different trials, like in the span of 3 months, He took everything away from me. He removed everything from my life. Everything that I was maybe holding on to as something that gave me security, something that gave me a sense of value, or if I'm being honest, superiority. Everything. So I broke off my engagement, okay? So relationship is done. I moved. Okay. So had to get all new friends, all new community, everything. So I didn't know anybody. I was single. I didn't know anybody. I got a job through an old manager of mine. And after I'd been working there for a month, he was let go from the company. So I just felt like I was floundering there. Like, oh my goodness, the person that I had an in with is gone. Now I have to, like, I'm on my own. My car broke down the same day that it was my manager's last day. My car broke down on the way to work. So I literally was on my own, like stranded on my way to work, had to get my car towed to the Mercedes dealership and like try to get it fixed. And it was going to be so expensive to get it fixed that it was done. So that happened. What else? I had met a guy that I really liked who's a really strong Christian. We started dating and within a few months just decided to not see each other because of where I was at and just to let me kind of grow on my own. And that was hard. And I was just like, why? What was even the point of that? Like, if we were not going to be together, then like, why even have this guy come into my life at all? Like, what are you doing? Like, this is just mean. Like, everything just felt so mean, right? And I had to give up my dogs. So guys, I had two dogs. One was like my dog since I was like 13, 14. I've had him for over 10 years. And the other dog I rescued with my ex-fiance from a shelter. We adopted him a few years ago, and they were my babies. Like, I freaking love my dogs. I was obsessed with my dogs. They lived up here with me for a few months, and when I started working, I realized that I was going to be traveling a lot for work. And I would have had to, you know, pay to have the dogs taken care of. It would have been $100 a day for probably 1 week out of every month. That's like $500 a month added expenses just to have these dogs. And so they went back to live with my ex-fiance. So I don't have my dogs anymore. So I just felt like I was losing everything. I had a house before and now I'm renting an apartment. I, you know, was on track to get married and check those boxes in my life. Oh, I was self-employed for 3 years and then now I'm working for a company again. So I just felt like all these things that I had built were being torn down and cleared away. And in the moment, it felt so mean. And I had to learn how to trust that even in the times that it felt like everything is falling apart, that it's good, that God is doing something and that He is working. And He brought me so many different new, better things to replace everything that He took away. And if He didn't replace something, it's because I didn't need it to begin with. That's one thing that He has taught me so much in the last 8 months, that everything that's in your life right now is on purpose. And the things that are not in your life are also on purpose. So calm down, Rebecca. Do not try to control and manipulate certain things, because He can bring anybody into my life at any point whenever He wants to, or He can take anyone away. That's what that season taught me. Like, He made it very, very clear that He can bring anybody into my life randomly. And He can take things away. And it's not to be mean. It's to give me something better or to take away responsibilities. That's one thing that I realized with the house, with the dogs, with my business. Not having all of those things is less for me to worry about. I don't have to worry about anything right now. I don't have to take care of dogs. I don't have to take care of a fiance. I don't have to take care of a house. I don't have to take care of like my own personal clients. All I have to do is show up to work every day. And I love my coworkers. I love where I work. It's been so great. And I have a new manager and he's awesome. And so it's just like the things that God has taught me over the past 8 months after shifting this podcast to a Christian-based, faith-based podcast. That's still about confidence, because what all of that comes back to, like when you're asking those big questions of like, what is my identity? Where does my worth come from? You have to go deeper than your own view of yourself, because how dumb would that be? Okay, oh, I struggle with confidence. I struggle with feeling like I'm good enough. Oh, here's the answer. Just decide that you are good enough. You get to decide. You're going to be like, what? I've already decided and I think that I suck. So like me telling myself that I'm actually good is not practical advice. That's stupid. Like that's just not helpful. Like, it would only help someone who's struggling in the moment, who's deep down very much rooted in strength and confidence and a strong sense of self-worth. That type of advice only helps surface level struggles. But if you have deep struggles with insecurity and not feeling good enough, you need to get your identity from something outside of yourself. Now, here's the problem with that. You start looking to other people. You start looking to external circumstances, your job, your body, your relationship, your friends, how many followers you have on Instagram, how many likes your Facebook post got when you changed your profile picture. Like, these are the things that our culture tells us to look to for your identity. It's like, how many popularity points can I get from other people? That is not a fixed asset that changes. So it is by definition insecure. It is not secure. Something that changes all the time is not secure. So you're left with this question of like, well, where do I go then? Who gets to decide? Like you get to these super deep questions of like the purpose of your life and the purpose of the world and who you are. And so I almost was forced to talk about my identity in Christ because I had to have an answer, right? I'm like, okay, Rebecca, well, where does your identity come from? If it doesn't come from other people and it doesn't come from you, where does it come from? It only pointed to one direction. It had to come from the one who made me. So I hadn't shared really openly that I had faith or that I was a Christian before changing my life around, because I would have felt like an absolutely just like one of those Instagram Christians who posts one thing and then lives something else. And I never want to be a hypocrite. Like, that's the one thing that, say what you will about me, but I'm not a hypocrite. Like, at least she lives by what she says. Like, she's not going to pretend like she's something she isn't, and she's going to own up to the struggles that she has. And so, full disclosure, and again, when people, like, ask me about my ex and, you know, how I used to live and whatever, like, they always tiptoe around, like, the topic of sex and like, virginity or whatever. And it's like, no, yeah, I was living with my ex-fiance. We had sex. Like, I'm not a virgin. I'm not, like, this poster child of Christianity. But actually, I kind of think I am a poster child of Christianity now that I just said that, because it's like, Christianity is not about being perfect. Christianity is not about waiting until marriage to have sex. Like, sure, you can do that. But the more important thing is, where is your heart at? And like, why are you doing that? Why are you waiting until marriage to have sex? Is it just because that's what you're supposed to do? Or is it because you understand that purity matters to God and life is not just about sex? Like, our culture makes everything about sex all the time, and that's just not the way that we were supposed to live. That's not the way that God created us to be. Yes, sex is amazing. Sex is important. I'm a big fan, but there's a proper time and context for it according to our Creator. And that is also for our good. It doesn't mean that you are used up or less than anything if you've had sex with multiple people, if whatever. I have, like it's not about like you only have a certain amount of like you can only have a certain amount of sexual experience until you become unworthy of like a Christian marriage. Like, the nice part, the thing that I really like about Jesus is that he sets the bar pretty high, right? Like, he's like, if you have ever even thought about a woman or ever lusted towards a woman, you have committed adultery in your heart. Like, whoa! Okay, like, the standard is perfection, right? So basically he's doing that so that nobody can be like, oh, I'm better than you. And because Jesus is like, nah, man, my standard is absolute purity and perfection. So if you deviate from that whatsoever, you're equally guilty as someone, as you know, the prostitute. You're equally guilty. So get off of your high horse, like, whatever. So now, does that mean we run around doing whatever we want? No. It just, I like to call that out because we need to get over the idea of virginity and just focus on purity. Because And yeah, like people get so weird about it. They're like, oh, I'm a Christian, so I'm supposed to be a virgin. Or like, oh, like virginity is this weird, like taboo topic. And it's like, no, it's really not. Because if we're talking about the standard is not virginity. The standard is purity. And we've all fallen short of that. So anyone who's going to discredit or discount you because of something like that is not really someone who knows Jesus. Like, they're just not. Like, they don't understand grace. They don't understand being made new. And that's, I don't know, I just think that it's weird when people tiptoe around this topic, because, like, right, we're talking about confidence, we're talking about body image, and the church has done such a terrible job of, like, tearing down our body, our bodies, because of this whole virginity thing and this whole purity thing, and trying to make us feel bad about things we no longer have control over, like things in the past or current struggles that we face. Like, struggling with purity is no different than struggling with lying. Struggling with purity is no different than struggling with pride. Like, the standard is perfection, and we all fall short of that. So I want to call out that, like, yes, I'm not a virgin. I've had sex before with multiple people. And it was really because I just didn't understand this whole purity thing before. Like, I didn't like that part of the Bible that said to be pure, because that meant I couldn't do the things I wanted to do. So instead of digging into why and understanding that this was actually for my own benefit, I just kind of did, like I said before, I did life according to Rebecca. And it had some influences of what God's ideas were mixed into there, here and there. But it was not fully living the way that God wants me to. And the way that God wants everyone to, right? Like, he designed us for a purpose and a certain way to live. And we've really fallen away from that as a culture because we're just going towards our own desires. And I didn't understand the purity thing before. I didn't understand why I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do as long as they weren't hurting anyone else. And so that's how I lived for a long time. Until January, December of 2018, 2019. And I'm telling you, once you go all in and you just, like, submit yourself to what God says and just, like, stop, like, test it, make sure that, like, that you're understanding it right and that you're reading the Bible and asking, you know, God for clarity on certain things and direction on certain things. Stop questioning the things that you know he's telling you to do and just do it. Just trust him, because so much of it just opens you up to the life that you were designed to live. And so that's, like, my background with relationships and where I got so much of my identity from relationships before. And now that I'm single and I'm not in a relationship, it's shown me so much, like so much more about myself, and that there is so much more to life than a relationship. And that's a strength and a skill that I will take with me into my marriage someday, to still be an effective tool, an effective instrument for God, but then also support and love and help my husband be an effective instrument as well. So God has just changed my heart so much in those areas, and that helps you become so much more confident. It's helped me become so much more confident because I don't care what my work performance really is. Like, I don't care what people think of me. I don't care, because I know that at the end of the day, whatever God is doing, he's doing it for my good, as long as I am being obedient and trusting that, you know, what he's saying is part of the plan. It's impossible to get in the way of what God is trying to do in your life. Like, when God is trying to do something, he's going to do it. And nothing that I'm going to do is going to stop that from happening or force that to happen. Like, it's not me anyway. So I may as well just play my little part and let him do the big stuff. So I think about it this way. So, like, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, I love reading the Old Testament, by the way. When Moses, we talk about how Moses parted the Red Sea. No, he absolutely did not. God parted the Red Sea, and he used Moses as a human instrument to demonstrate his power. Moses did nothing but raise his staff or whatever he did. I don't remember the details. Moses took a small action and God stepped in. Right? And that's all he's asking us to do. And that's how I can have so much confidence in my actions, because I'm like, dude, it's not me doing it anyway. It's God. So, like, yeah, I can say this thing. Yeah, I can post this post. Yeah, I can go to this place and meet this person and I can try this. But at the end of the day, God's the one making moves, not me. Right? So, growing up in a Christian household makes your relationship with God and Christianity kind of just like another thing that your parents taught you. And then depending on your relationship with your parents, you're going to take that into adulthood in different ways. So if you have a healthy relationship with your parents, you will probably continue to respect those beliefs and maybe keep going to church, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have this passionate, intimate relationship with God. It just means this is something I believe on a brain level. I believe this, but what is it on a heart level? And I mean, some people, if they don't have a good relationship with their parents, then they reject all of the beliefs. So they reject God because they don't like their parents and they think that God is associated with their parents, so they don't want anything to do with God if those are the types of people that follow him. But please don't let God be tarnished, God's reputation be tarnished by people, because people suck. People are gonna mess it up. People are the worst. But that's not God, right? So I was fortunate, but I also think that I was a little on edge. Like, I was an at-risk Christian, because I knew all of it was true. I believed all of it in my heart. I knew that Jesus was my savior, but I wasn't living for him. I wasn't living for God. And I think that is the step that a lot of people don't take, because that's the step that's hard. That's the step that's uncomfortable. That's the one that ruins the temporary fun. That's the one that says, nope, Rebecca, you're not having sex with people anymore. Nope, Rebecca, you're not dating guys who aren't Christians. So God took a lot of things away from me in the beginning part of 2019. And in all of that, he replaced things, or he fulfilled me in ways that I didn't expect, or things that I didn't think that he would do for me. So, like, one tangible example, when my car broke down. So my car was one thing that I was very, like, proud of. So, like, I bought this car, it was a Mercedes, and I was very just, like, excited about the fact that I was like, I'm 25. At the time I was 25, I think, when I bought it. It's like, I'm 25 and I, like, have this Mercedes and it's super nice. And, like, I love having this Mercedes. And it was an older version. Like, it wasn't super fancy, but it just was something that I really liked. Okay. I am a big fan of rap music and all of the, like, hip hop songs talking about, like, Mercedes and whatever. It's like, I just made me feel cool when I could, like, sing along and be like, oh yeah, like, I have Mercedes, like, my Mercedes has the push start, whatever, like stuff that they rap about. Okay. It made me feel cool. So it was, my car was starting to have issues and I was like, oh no, like I'm going to have to get a different car and there's no way that I'm going to be able to afford to get a Mercedes again. Like there's just no way. And not only that, but I don't even know what type of car I'm going to be able to afford to buy because I had just done this big, I had moved, I had so many expenses, I had to furnish my whole apartment, I had to like start over from scratch with like everything. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any money. Like I was like, I can't even afford a car, let alone a fancy car, let alone a Mercedes-Benz. Like I can't. I'm not going to be able to do that. So I was really holding on to trying to make this car work because I wanted to have my fancy car that made me feel cool. So I was like, Lord, like, you know, I'm really stressed out about this car situation, but whatever, like, will you please just intervene? Like, if I'm supposed to keep this car, have it be fixed. And if not, just like totally have that be very obvious. Okay. Had that prayer, like made that request to God. And literally like a week later, I was driving to work and my car broke down, would not go faster than 20 miles an hour, had to have it towed to the Mercedes place. And I was like, perfect. Great. My car is dead. It's done. And now I'm going to have some regular car and it's not going to be as fun and whatever. Like, I get it. Like, I don't need to be fancy, but this was just something that I liked and it was fine until it wasn't. And then it broke and I had to replace it. So it just so happened that my parents were in town that day. They were coming into town. They live out in Rapid City, South Dakota. They live 8 hours away. They had planned a trip to come visit, and they were coming into town that day. So they were able to go car shopping with me, basically. They were able to drive me around so I could, you know, still do things and whatever. And so the next day we went into the Mercedes dealership, and that's where my sister's boyfriend's dad works. So that was also another just like weird God coincidence that it's like, oh, okay, like Donnie works here and he can help me out. So we went to the dealership because that's where it got towed into, because that's where I was going to try to have it fixed. And it was going to be a few thousand dollars and the car just wasn't, I'd already spent a few thousand dollars to try to fix it. And I was like, I'm not putting any more money into this thing. Like, let's just be done. And I need to get a different car. So, I mean, I was like, there's no way that I'm going to be able to get a Mercedes, whatever. I was talking with my dad and I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't have any money. And so I'm going to have to get like a car loan. And so like, I hate being in debt. I was debt free before I called off my engagement and moved up here and whatever. And then I went into debt because I had to just, you know, pay to live and whatever. So I was feeling like a huge failure and I was just like, Dad, I don't know what to do. Like, I can't afford a car. My car's broken. Like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, well, like I can help you get into a car that is going to last you for 5 to 10 years. Like, I think that it would be smart for you to invest in a more reliable, like, newer car so that you don't have to worry about this stuff. You don't have to worry about taking it into the shop every couple months or like whatever. So we kind of figured out a budget of what would be a reasonable amount to spend on a next car. I wanted something with a smaller engine. My other Mercedes was like a V8 engine because we had it to like pull the boat in the summer. And like, I'm like, I don't need that anymore. I don't have the dogs anymore. I just want like a sedan. I'm like, I want a regular car, but I want it to have four-wheel drive. I want it to have all-wheel drive because I don't want to get stuck in the winter and whatever. That's like my only thing. That's what I want. Those two things. Smaller engine, four-wheel drive. So we're at the Mercedes place and we were talking about options and what used vehicles they had. And my parents were only in town for a few days. So like we kind of had to make a decision soon. So a guy comes along talking about this trade-in that he had. I test drove like an Acura, some other crossover kind of things, and I was not really like loving any of them. And then the trade-in car salesman guy came over and was like, actually, I got one in yesterday that she might really like. How do you feel about red? And I was like, well, I don't dislike red. Why? Like, what is this color? Is this car red? He's like, let me pull it around for you. He pulls in this bright red Mercedes with tan interior, and all of their cars like that have what they call 4MATIC, so it's all-wheel drive, and it's this like sporty, really cute little car. And he's like, I got this trade-in yesterday from an old man who like can't drive anymore. He literally drove it like grocery shopping, and like he never drove it. He was like 92 years old. It has 24,000 miles on it. It's a 2014. And, you know, he said like how much they were going to try to sell it for. And that was like the exact budget that my dad and I had talked about. And I was like, no way. So we got into this car and we test drove this car. And I was just like, there's no way that this is the responsible decision. Like, how would the responsible choice right now be to buy a red Mercedes that is like not, I mean, it wasn't like super fancy. It's 2014, but it was like, and like, how is it that I'm getting not only a Mercedes, which is kind of what I wanted, but a nicer one, a better one with tan interior, which I love, and which that's something that I was on my like nice to have list. It has all-wheel drive, and it's like this red fun color. Like, it's more fun than I would have chosen even for myself. So we bought the car, and now I'm paying my dad back for the car. But it was just this crazy situation, because that car got traded in on the day that mine broke down. And at first, I was going to take my car to the other Mercedes dealership, which was closer to my house, but they didn't have any time to take a look at the engine to see what was wrong that day. And because my car was broke down, I had to have someone look at it like immediately. So I went to the other Mercedes place. So it's like all of these things came together so that I was there. My parents were there. The car was there. And it was this like perfect gift from God to show, like, Rebecca, stop holding on to the things that aren't working anyway, because I have something so much better that I'm waiting to give you. I want to give you this thing that is better, that you will enjoy, but you need to let go of the thing that isn't working in order to get it. So that was one way that God showed up for me this year. And there have been other little things too. At work. So I started off and I was in a sales position that I was probably overqualified for. And I didn't realize that until I got into the role. And I was like, oh shoot, this is kind of like one step below where I was at before. And like, maybe I should have applied for a higher level position. And then my manager got let go. So then I was just kind of like floundering. I was like, man, nobody's going to give me a raise. Nobody's going to give me a promotion now because they don't even know me. And so like before, my manager who knew me and brought me in, maybe he could have advocated for me to get a promotion. But now that he's gone, like, I'm going to have to, you know, stand on my own 2 feet, which is fine. And that's good. That's how it should be anyway. But I was just like, oh no, like, what's going on here? And for a period of time, my direct manager was the VP of sales for all of North America. So I was a little intimidated by that, but instead of being intimidated, I was like, okay, Rebecca, here's a chance. Show him what you can do and use this to stand out and to learn, like, you, maybe you can get promoted, because July is usually when people get promoted, because that's the end of their or beginning of their fiscal year. So I was like, why not? Like, just go for it and see what happens. And so I ended up getting promoted in July and got this job that didn't even exist. I was thinking, I was like, you know, if I could have like a promotion within my same product line, that would be awesome. But there weren't any open positions for that same product line. So I was like, ooh, I don't know, like what's going on. God created that position and then gave it to me. And so it's just the things that we worry about or the things that we think we need to figure out, just, you know, God has it handled. And when you are walking in obedience with him, he wants to bless you with those things that you ask for, but also things that you didn't even realize you needed to ask for or that you wanted. Another thing he took away were my dogs. And I found out that a few months ago, Brody, one of my dogs, had a lot of like internal tumors and bleeding. And one day Zach came home from work and had to bring Brody into the vet and he had to put him down. That was just a few months after I had given up the dogs and had them go live with my ex-fiance because, and I was just thinking, I was like, what would have happened if that would have happened when I came home from work one day? Like God spared me that situation by taking away the responsibilities of having the dogs, right? So it's like, at the time, it felt so mean. It felt like, oh my gosh, why, like, I can't even have the companionship of, like, a dog, really? But I didn't have to go through making that decision of putting him down. I didn't have to go through that pain of seeing him in pain. And I've had so much more freedom. I've been able to be more spontaneous with my friends and with small group and whatever because I didn't have the dogs. So that's another way that like God provided for me after taking something away. So it's everything is for a purpose. And you don't get to see what that is usually right away. Sometimes you do with like the car thing. Eventually I was like, wow, this is just like God providing. But with the dog thing, it took a while to see, but that was good too. Eventually that was good. Really, like this is all kind of coming full circle of where I was at a few years ago when I got out of a really toxic, abusive relationship. That was around 2014. It was the same type of thing. You know, I got too quickly all in, invested in relationships that just weren't good. And I couldn't see that the behavior was actually toxic until I was already too far in it. And so I had moved to Chicago and was living with this guy for 6 weeks and just realized like this is not heading in a good direction. This is heading in a very bad, unsafe direction, and I'm out of here. Like I fled. And that was also a weird God story too, because a few weeks before, my mom's family friend from church, like my mom's friend from church, they had just moved to the Chicago area. And when I called my mom crying, saying that, you know, we got in this huge fight again, and like I feel like I don't feel safe there, like I feel like I need to leave, she was like, go stay with Gina. And I was like, what do you mean? Who is Gina? What's going on? Like, what do you mean go stay with her? And she was like, they literally just moved to Chicago. Like, I can call her right now. You can go and stay there for like a day or two while you figure things out. So I did. I went and stayed there, and even I had an interview the next day that I was really contemplating whether or not I should go to it. And I remember just now that the next day I was like, okay, I should probably go to the interview, see what happens. It was kind of like a third final interview to get a job there and to really become rooted in Chicago. I got an email that morning from the girl I was supposed to meet with, and she was like, hey, I unexpectedly have to leave the office and go to a funeral. Like, can we please reschedule this interview? So I was like, oh, okay, I don't even have to be the one to reschedule the interview. And that was also kind of God saying, like, don't go to the interview. You need to go back to Minnesota. Like, you need to go home. So that day I left. I went and packed up all my stuff. One of Gina's sons came with me because he wanted to go visit his friends back in Mankato or in Minnesota where I was from. So it was just this weird thing where it's like, okay, so now this guy is helping me pack up stuff. And we took another car so I could fit more things. So he drove one car, I drove my car. And on the way back, my ex was like calling me every half hour, asking me to come back, like in his cycle of just like craziness. And I literally couldn't go back because I was driving 8 hours home with this guy. Like, I couldn't just be like, oh, never mind, I'm actually going to go back to Chicago and continue to live with this guy. Like, it was one of those things where if he wasn't on the trip with me, I don't know if I would have made it all the way back. And that, again, was God's intervention, God protecting me, God providing a way for me, knowing my personality. He knew this is what Rebecca needs to be accountable and to actually get away, get enough space to do so. And I think that part of me thinks that that is what that the purpose of the guy that I dated for a little while after I broke up with Zach. So when I broke up with Zach, I was like, you know what, Rebecca, you're done dating people who aren't Christians. Like, seriously, you need to get it together. And I was like, I had felt like I had been single for a long time just because of the nature of that relationship was so empty and was so lonely. And I was so neglected in that relationship that I felt like I had been independent and single for at least the last year. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to start getting out onto like dating sites, seeing who's out there, just like getting a feel for what the deal is. So I signed up for Christian Mingle because I was like, I'm not wasting my time with people who I'm going to end up in the same situation with in another 3 years. So I signed up for Christian Mingle like pretty quickly and expecting, you know, to like not meet anyone that I really liked because it takes a long time for me to meet someone that I'm actually interested in and we have common interests and we're both attracted to each other and whatever. But I met this guy like right away and I was like, oh, he's actually like kind of great. Like I actually really like him. Like he's actually, we get along, but then also he's a Christian and he seems like he's like got a path and he's an adult. He's like an actual man rather than just this like boy who doesn't, you know, can't even whatever. So we started dating and I was like, wow, this is actually like someone I'm interested in and could see myself with. And in that time, that was like, I still hadn't even moved up to the cities yet. Like I was still living with my brother, because I had just moved out. And part of me thinks that that was God providing not necessarily the person that I would end up with, but a person who could give me something to hold on to while I got out of Mankato and while I got up to the cities. There were a few times I had to go back to the house to get some stuff, you know, to move. I had to move. And there were a few times that, like, Zach was there. And if I hadn't been kind of seeing this guy, I don't know what would have happened. Like, I really think that I was over the relationship, but like, you know, your heart does crazy things and your emotions do crazy things when you're doing like a really big step. And who knows, like maybe if I wasn't kind of, maybe if I wasn't seeing this guy, I would have given Zach another chance. Maybe I would have found a reason to stay. Maybe I would have, I don't know what would have happened, but I just know that I'm so thankful that I am where I'm at. And any person or circumstance that got me here, I am thankful for, and I see God working in that. And This is like a really roundabout way of saying like my testimony, but God works in so many random ways. And I'm just so glad that he brought me to where I am, and he taught me to really lean on him to build community. That was another thing that, so when I got up here and this guy and I decided to stop seeing each other, it was really because he was like, you're at a really pivotal point in your life and in your faith, and I want you to build that around God, not around me, which I think is very wise. And so I started doing that, and like I had to put myself out there and like go to a connection group and find friends, make friends, follow up with people to just like hang out, and really just listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That's what really made my faith grow, and reading the Bible every day. Like I knew that it was going to be a big transition to go back to working full time again after being self-employed for 3 years. That was another big change. And getting up in the morning, I knew was going to be hard. I love to sleep in. So rather than like feeling stressed and like rushing to get into work, I was like, you know what? I've read my Bible every day before work started. I need to continue doing that. So I'm going to wake up an hour early, read my Bible, journal, pray, like start the day with the Lord. Because I was thinking, I was like, okay, if I want to put God first in my life, what does that look like? And just the very logical first step to that would be like, well, he should be the first thing that you do in the morning. Like that should be the relationship that you prioritize first thing in the morning. If you want to put him first in your life, then that would make sense. If it's like the first thing on your mind, the first thing that you do. And I really try put effort into like making my relationship with God very tangible. Like spending 1 hour once a week in a group setting with a guy is not going to qualify as like a deep, meaningful dating relationship, right? So why do we think that that's enough time to spend with God? It's not. Like, that's not a very good relationship. And you need to know about the other person if you want to have a deep, meaningful relationship. So the same with God. I need to know about him. The only way to know about him is to talk to him and let him talk to me. Learn about him. Read stories about him. So I just started in Genesis and went from there. And that is what really opened up my relationship with God and my experience with God and how we kind of do this life thing together. Because I took those steps, even though they sound cliche, like it matters. It's important. And it works. So if you want to know more about God, it's not this like mystery, like frickin' read the Bible and ask him, what does this mean? What are you trying to show me here? Like, he wants a relationship with you too. So even if you just start putting in like a little bit of effort, he will work through that. And then you want to put in more effort because you want more of that relationship. And it's just so good. So one of those prompts, one of those nudges that I felt from God was, so the church that I go to, Salt City in St. Paul, well, Minneapolis, it's at the Graduate Hotel now, in Minneapolis, they were doing a baptism. They do this like potluck baptism night, and they were like, oh, it's so fun, it's the best, whatever. And I got this nudge, and like, I just totally felt God saying like, that's for you. Go, like, get baptized. That's for you. And immediately I was like, no, it's not for me. Like, I've been baptized before. Like, I was baptized when I was maybe, like, 10. So this is for, like, new baptism people. Like, don't make this about you, Rebecca. Like, this is not for you, was, like, the voice that I heard. And then the next time they talked about it, I got this hit again of, like, that's for you. Do that. So I kind of sat with that a little bit, and I was like, no, like you are just like doing this for attention. You're just doing this to like make an emotional experience. Like this is not for you. And I wrestled with that. And then it was the day of the baptism thing. I was at church and they were like, you can still do it. Like, you can still sign up if you want to. And they were very, like, not pushy about it, which I really appreciate. I hate when churches are like, oh, like, go get baptized and blah, like making it just this, like, hyped up experience rather than, like, an actual decision to, you know, they said baptism doesn't mean you are saved. Baptism is just an outward expression of an inward change that you feel is significant in your life. So if you feel like that is you, this is like a great way to share that with other people in our church so that they know kind of like where you're at in your journey. And that really helped. And I was like, you know what? I think it's actually selfish of me to not share all the work that God has done in my life over the last 6 months at the time. Like, that would be a missed opportunity. And so I was on my way home from church and I just got this like overwhelming sense of like, Rebecca, I want you to do this. And so I said out loud, I was like, okay, fine. I said that out loud. I was like, okay, fine. I was like, Lord, fine. I will do it. Okay. So I spent the whole afternoon like praying and just like reflecting on everything and filling out my thing for the baptism and figuring out what to do. And I got baptized and I told my small group about it and they all showed up for me. And it was just so cool to be baptized when, and I was so excited about it because I was like, yes, you know, like this is something that God has done in my life. It's not about me. And that's the lie that I believed at first, which made me want to not do it, was that if I got baptized again and told my story, whatever, I would be making it all about me and that would be selfish and that would be bad. But actually, it would be selfish and it would be timid and it would not be a sign of confidence and boldness if I just didn't say anything to anyone about what God was doing and I didn't give him the credit. So I shared my story in front of everyone. I was baptized and it was just, it was awesome. And I think that following those prompts, the more you follow them, the more you're in tune with them, the more you can pick them out, the more you know, like, yep, that's God telling me to do something, or no, that's just this like weird idea I have in my head. And following that one made the other ones just like so much more obvious, so much more simple. And now, I mean, with this podcast and with reaching women in the Twin Cities area and all of that, it's just, he's shown me how he is the answer to all of the questions that our hearts long for. And the reason we don't feel like we are good enough, the reason we don't feel like what we are doing is going to measure up or be fulfilling or enough is, first of all, because it wasn't meant to be. We were not created to be able to fulfill our desires. The only thing that can fulfill those desires is the love and acceptance and relationship with the one who created us. So all these deep longings in the hearts of women, I mean, God is showing me how he fulfills them, whether it's a longing for a career, longing for a marriage or relationship, longing for fulfillment through your work, through your family life, through friendships, through whatever. None of those things are going to satisfy you, because that longing was designed to be satisfied by your creator. And I'm just so thankful that you're on this journey with me, that you're with me through this, and that God has brought me through a big season of shaping and refinement and trials. Like, it's been tough. But that's how I can relate to people. That's now how I have so much compassion and empathy for what you're going through, because I've lived that and God has shown me like the counterfeit versions of what we could use to try to satisfy those desires temporarily. And it's just not going to be a thing. Like, it's not going to be enough, especially with romantic relationships. Like, I've had to turn down so many guys who have like asked me out because they're not Christians and they can't lead me and love me in the way and for the reasons why I would love them. And it wouldn't be Christ-centered. And that's not what I want anymore. And God has shown me how much he loves me enough where I trust him. And I know that it's better to just be walking with God alone than trying to walk with God with someone who doesn't prioritize their relationship with God. So this episode is getting so long, and I hate like long episodes. I don't know. I feel like it's like, just get to the point already, Rebecca. But this is kind of a deep one. This is a long one because my story is long and intricate, and it's a span of like 5 years. Really the last 5 years, me learning lessons and stumbling and God tracking me down and bringing me back. And I'm trying to really make him the Lord of my life now, whereas before he was my savior. I knew that. I knew I was saved, but I wasn't living for him. And now I am, and figuring out what that looks like and how to do that and how to use that as my purpose and as my grounding for where my confidence comes from, where my identity comes from. And that's the best place to find it because it's the only thing that's not going to change. So I mean, that's my story. That's the best I can do right now. I don't know what else to say. If you have any questions or thoughts on just email me, send me a message on Instagram, follow me on Instagram. If you're not following me on Instagram, do it. I'm on there all the time, and that's a good way to just reach out to me. That's what I have for you today. Thank you. Can't believe this is the 100th episode of this podcast. And, you know, I'm not slowing down anytime soon. So thank you for listening and leaving reviews and ratings and all of that. Like, this is just such a fun ride and such a fun journey that God has me on. And I am really excited to see what he has next, not only for me, but for you.